Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is chapter 15, which is called Yoga, the Supreme Person. We're going to read text number 10. Utramantam sitim vati bhunjara vavgunan vita vimuronanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. This is Srila Prabhupada's translation purport. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. This is Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word jnana chakshusha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he's going to take in the next life, nor even why he's living in a particular type of body. This requires a great amount of knowledge understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances, he's living under certain circumstances, and he's enjoying under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person with such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves and transfer it to the spiritual world. Ukramantam sitim vapi bhuntanam vagunan vitam yumuro nanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. Translation: the foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Phenomene Namaste Sarasatun Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatya De Sitarne. In the previous verse, Krishna has explained Sharira Yadavatnoti Ekstrapyu Kramati Shraha Grihivai Tani Samyati Vayorganda Iva Shayat. That the living entity carries its different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aroma. And thus he takes one kind of body and quits it to take another. In other words, from the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained the difference between the body and the soul. That the soul is eternal and the body is temporary. And that the soul is conscious and that the body is unconscious. And he's also explained the process by which we can become aware of the difference between ourselves and this body. In the beginning he says that there's the indirect process known as karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, and bhakti yoga. That one can gradually detach oneself from the results of one's work. That is always being anxiety about what will be the future, what will we get from what we're doing. One can gradually cultivate knowledge about oneself as a spiritual being, as well as the supreme spiritual being, by hearing from the right source, in the right manner, in the right attitude. And then one could rise up to the platform of controlling the mind and being able to see Krishna everywhere, both inside and outside. And then one can come to the position of understanding that our constitutional relation with Krishna is that of lovingly, enthusiastically performing all our activities for His benefit and for His pleasure. So in this way, one can gradually realize oneself as a spiritual soul and the activities of the soul. But here Krishna says that the living entity in the material world that we're in now, we have different conceptions of life, and that conception of life is this gross and subtle body that we're walking around in. In other words, originally the soul has a pure or a direct perception of life, which is known as Krishna consciousness. One can see directly how everyone and everything is related to Krishna, the original being, the source of everything. Ekadesha sthitara gyagya jostaj vimsarasi yata parasya brahmatas chaktis tedam akilam jagat. Just like fire may be situated in one place, but it diffuses its heat and light everywhere. So similarly, the Supreme Person is in one place and He's diffusing all His energies everywhere. So this can be directly perceived by the soul when the soul becomes back to its original consciousness, its original perception of life. But presently our material consciousness that we're walking around is covering our conception of life, just like sometimes the sun is covered by clouds. Actually, the sun is never covered by clouds, but because of our being a very small position, therefore the clouds may cover our vision of the sun. So similarly, the modes of nature, sometimes they cover our consciousness, and therefore we cannot actually see things as they are. So consciousness is originally pure, just like air is pure. But when air passes over a rose garden, then it smells very nice. And when air passes over a garbage place where they have garbage, then it doesn't smell very nice. So the air is the same, but due to association with garbage or due to association with roses, sometimes it smells nice and sometimes it smells not so nice. So similarly, the consciousness of the soul is originally pure when it's in contact with Krishna, but when it comes in contact with the modes of material nature, it becomes adulterated or it becomes clouded. Therefore, one who hears from the right source, namely one who hears from Krishna or from Krishna's representatives who are repeating what Krishna has to say, then we can understand what the real conception of life is. It's explained here how the living entity has come into a material body, what kind of body he enjoys under the spell of the material nature, and how one can get free from this material consciousness by the process of yoga. And the most important yoga process that's described in this age is the process of bhakti yoga. That is, the soul has come and has acquired the modes of material nature due to its desire to be something other than Krishna's servant. In other words, this body has been given to us as a vehicle or an instrument by which we can try to enjoy in the material world in the different modes of material nature. But when we can understand that this body can also be utilized in such a way in Krishna's service, if we desire that, and by such desire, then Krishna gradually reveals Himself to us and we can realize who we actually are and what our real spiritual activities are. Only in that way can the soul, ourselves, factually become conscious of our eternal identity as well as our original position of happiness and proper awareness. So this is not a sectarian philosophy. Just like when Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, and He explained that the body is changing. So He didn't mean that only Arjuna's body was changing, or only a certain religious bodies change, and that everyone else's body doesn't change. No, Krishna has explained that everyone's body is changing. Whatever one's belief is, or lack of belief, whatever species of life one is in, everyone has a body that's changing. But the soul within the body, that soul doesn't change. We ourselves, we have experience, We've taken so many bodies. We have so many different types of experience. But we're not changing in spite of all of the different bodies that we've had, even during this lifetime. Therefore, the eternality of the soul is directly perceived by the soul, and the temporality of the body, of course, is also perceived by the soul. So to realize this is very simple. In this age, it's advised that we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this, thus, by coming in contact with Krishna directly, by the chanting of Hare Krishna, if it's chanted in the right attitude, with the right philosophy, where we actually ask Krishna and Srimati Radharani to bring us back to our right position, then the results will be that if Krishna sees our sincerity, our desire, then he'll actually bring us to that position by which we'll be able to understand ourselves directly, we'll be able to understand Krishna directly, and we'll be able to see everyone and everything as it actually is. Yanena tu tara genam yesham nashtam atmanaha tesham adityava jnanam prakashiti tatparam. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then one's knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Tadburiyas taratmanas tatnishtas tatparayana kachatnyapunam avritim jnananudhuta kamushaha. One's faith, mind, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastani Shuni Jaiva Swapikecha Pandita Samadarshanaha. The learned person sees with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman, the cow, the dog, the elephant, and the dog eater. Yahaiva Tara Jita Sargo Yesham Sam Yesitamana Nidosham Hisamam Brahma Tasma Brahmani Te Sitaha. Such a person who is situated in equanimity sees everyone equally. Yahayavatera jita sarago yesham se sitamana. So such a person has an equal mind. In other words, one doesn't become bewildered by this duality, thinking that somehow or another everything is happening by accident, or it's unfair, or I should be in a better position than I am. One realizes that everyone is equally a spiritual being, and that somehow or another, by attachment to some mode of material nature, we've forgotten our original nature. So those people whose mind are established in sameness and equanimity, they're actually on the platform of real knowledge. And the prari shat priyam prapya na dvijat prapita priyam stira buddhira samudho brahmavit brahmani svitaha. Such a person is not elated when he attains something pleasant, or disturbed when he attains something unpleasant, who self-intelligent, unbewildered, knows the science of God, is said to be already situated in transcendence. Vyavaseva-shat-tatma vindyat-yat-mini-yat-sukham sri-brahma-yoga-yuktatma sukham-akshayam-ashnute. Such a person is is not attracted to external sense objects, but is always entranced, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. Yehi samsparsha bhoga dukha yoni evate adyantavanta kontaya nate shu ramate buddha. An intelligent person is not attracted to material sense objects or sense pleasure because he knows that Yehi samsparsha bhoga dukha yoni evate adyantavanti kontaya nate shu ramate buddha. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery, but are due to contact with the material senses with their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and end, and so the wise person does not delight in them. So trying to become happy in this material body, or in any body, material body, is doomed to be a failure, because actually the happiness in the material world is only temporary. We may gratify our senses and therefore feel some happiness because we're experiencing the relief of the misery coming from the demands of the senses. We may gratify the desires of the mind because they're pushing us to acquire something, but the only real happiness is when we get what we've been pushed to get. But it's only temporary, because as soon as we get what the mind tells us it wanted, then the mind tells us it wants something else. It's never satisfied. And therefore, the only remedy is to understand what is the actual object. When we get that, we feel completely happy and satisfied. So that object is Krishna. And Krishna is obtained by performing activities in relation to Him called devotional service, activities to please Him. And that can be done even with this body. By utilizing this body in Krishna's service, then that is called bhakti yoga. And that will lead one to the awareness of our true identity as this eternal spiritual being. And that exchange with Krishna will give us a taste of the real happiness that we're looking for and elevate us to the real platform of eternal consciousness. So this philosophy is very nicely explained in these books that we have, especially in Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion. So if one studies these literatures, one will become more and more aware of what reality is and how to achieve it, even in this lifetime, by utilizing this present body, by utilizing it, even our daily activities. It is not that one has to give up one's work or family or anything. One simply has to learn the proper way of utilizing things so that we can develop the proper awareness of things and do things in a higher state of consciousness. So bhakti yoga doesn't mean changing activities. It means changing our understanding by giving us knowledge of reality so that we can work in harmony with reality and develop a loveliness, develop the proper awareness of everyone and everything so we can learn how to reciprocate with everyone on a devotional platform rather than a materialistic platform. So this is all explained in these books, and anyone who reads them becomes fortunate, and I think we have some of them available here. So we suggest that everyone, if possible, take as many books as you can, try to study them, and if you don't have time to study books, then chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. Difficult to curb. Subdue it seems to be more difficult than try and control the wind. So the question is why in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that the mind is restless, unsteady and turbulent and very difficult to control. It's even more difficult than trying to control the wind. So the question is why? Because since time immemorial we've been very much attached to this mind and fulfilling the desires of the mind. So we've been acquired a material mind, or we've developed a mind by practice which is attached to so many objects in the material world and we're attached to those objects. In other words, the mind has already been programmed due to our past activities, mental and sensual and physical and intellectual, to have so many different desires arising in it. And due to the fact that we have a tendency to become attached to many of these desires, therefore we dovetail our consciousness with the consciousness of the desires, and we become entangled in them. So the mind is very subtle, although the soul is by nature subtle also, even more subtle than the mind. But because the soul has not acquired the proper intelligence how to deal with the mind, therefore it becomes the victim of becoming entangled with the mind. The mind's desire to lord it over the material nature, or the false ego's desire to lord it over the material nature, the soul has become entangled in it. So when the soul acquires the proper intelligence by which it can understand what its real desire, how its real desire should be dovetailed, that have dovetailed with the will of the Supreme in harmony with the laws of nature, then the mind becomes aloof at once from the mind, and then Krishna purifies the mind of all the different material attachments, all the material desires, and the soul can, without any impediment, go on with the process of self-realization. But as long as the soul is attached to the desires that arise within the mind, then the mind produces more and more desires for the soul to become attached to. So as long as the soul wants to become involved in the material nature in terms of lording it over, then the mind will simply produce, as a reaction to that desire, more and more desires for the soul to try and get attached to and lord it over more and more of the material nature. But as soon as the soul becomes attached to the service of Krishna, then it becomes automatically aloof from the desires to lord over the material nature. Then the mind calms down, and gradually the materialistic mind disappears, and the actual spiritual consciousness appears within the mind. That is remembrance of Krishna. Is that clear? Anything else?
Is it possible for me to follow Krishna and be offensive at the same time?
And be offensive? No, it's not possible to do that. No, one has to develop, in order to develop Krishna consciousness, to develop consciousness, one has to develop a proper mentality. Because as long as we have the wrong mentality, then the result is that that wrong mentality will cover over our real mentality, and we won't be able to see through it. Therefore, Krishna says, Madi Vama Dambi Vama Hingsa Shanti Arjavam Acharya Pasanam Socham Stiryam Atman Vinigraha. So knowledge, real knowledge, begins with humility. Since we're, by constitution, 1/10,000th the size of tip of hair in size, and that Krishna is the source of everything, all the different energies, so we have a good reason to be humble. But as soon as we become offensive in our mentality, then we become covered by illusory consciousness, and therefore we can't see things properly. We start imagining ourselves to be something other than Krishna's eternal servant. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj, Bhagavad Gita, Kija.